Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, who is a mysterious woman who showed up late one night to terrify a young child in their bedroom? That's a question we ask today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We'd love to hear them. You can, of course, write in as well at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you want to support the show, we'd appreciate that, too. Maybe get yourself an early Christmas gift. Or when somebody goes, you're so hard to shop for, say, I love ghost stories. I'll take an EPP membership. They'll be like, what the hell is that? And you just slowly direct them to ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories and say, here, this is what I'd like. You can send them a link. There you go. Happy holidays. You get access to all of our bonus episodes. You get our advanced episodes. You get our archive of episodes, our ebook, our audiobook, so many extras there. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to support the program and keep us on the air. Get an annual membership, too, and get one of those months free. So, Tony and Carol Hughes joining you on today's episode. And how are you this fine day?
Well, you know, I mean, all things considered, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of like that.
You and I were just talking about how crazy the whole damn world is right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, it's looking great.
It's a lovely day today, and I hope you're happy. So, there you
fine,
go.
Fine, Tony. I'll find somebody else's podcast to crash. I don't know who, but I'm sure there's lined up waiting for me.
Good times.
It'll be a friendly one about weather or something. Because the weather's so normal these days.
High pressure systems. Yeah. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our first letter of the day. It says, I've had experiences my entire life. However, this experience is the most terrifying. It was 2008 in a small Indiana town about 40 minutes west of Cincinnati, Ohio. I was a freshman at a local college and lived with my parents to save money. One night while sleeping in my room, I awoke to a woman standing at the end of my bed. She was in a very slight build, had an oval-shaped face and long hair. The color of her hair, skin, and clothes was difficult to discern because she seemed to be charred and burned all over. Parts of her clothing still had embers eating away at them. I was terrified and covered up my head with my blankets. When I was able to get the gumption to peek out from under my covers, she was still there. At this point, I was curled up at the top of my bed, hiding under the covers and praying for her to go away. She just stood there and looked at me with deep brown eyes. Finally, finding my voice, I managed to squeak out a nervous, "Hello? What do you want?" Immediately after my inquiry, she got this look of rage on her face. I'll never forget her face, because I've never seen anyone look that infuriated in my entire life. She opened her mouth and appeared to be screaming bloody murder, but no sound was coming out of her mouth. It was as if I was watching a movie on mute. The angry lady at the end of my bed slammed both her hands down on the foot of my bed and shook my entire bed so violently that I had to hang on so as not to fall off. And she was gone. I did not sleep the rest of the night, but even though I was confident in what I saw, I still spent the entire next day at school working, trying to convince myself that I had been daydreaming. That night I went to bed, the woman reappeared. I woke up because I felt someone crawling on my bed. I looked out and saw the woman climbing over the footboard of my bed and standing at the bottom of my bed, just looking at me. I covered my face and prayed and cried until she finally dissipated. I did not sleep at all for the second night in a row. On the third night, she came again. I woke up to the feeling of her climbing on my bed, and this time she came one step closer to me. The next morning was Saturday. I waited at the kitchen counter all night until my mother woke up. As soon as she saw me sitting there shaking with a cup of coffee, she asked me what was wrong. I immediately started to cry and told her everything I'd experienced in the past three nights. I have a great mother, but she was not prepared for this. I do not blame her because I do not believe the situation is at all covered in parenting books. She didn't know what to say. Like so, like the good Catholic woman that she is, she said the first thing she could think of. It's probably just nightmares, but if not, just pray and it'll go away. I was so tired that I reluctantly accepted her advice, even though I had been praying, and I knew it did not seem to work. Soon after my talk with my mother, I heard the rest of the family start to stir. I took the opportunity to sleep on the couch. My scheme for the next 3 days was to sleep on the couch all day while my family was around and awake, and it was daylight. As soon as my family would start to go to bed, I'd wake up for the night. This successfully kept me from having to see the lady. But after the third day of me hoarding the couch, my family of four got irritated with my constant horizontal occupancy of the only couch in the living room. My mother convinced me to lay in bed with all the lights on and everyone's door open. I agreed because after 3 days of having no encounter, I convinced myself that I was simply crazy and should probably see a doctor rather than fear ghosts. I woke up the same time, about 3 a.m., as I did when I had the previous encounters. My door was shut, the lights were off, and the lady was climbing over my footboard. She again took some small steps toward me. The following nights were the same. Every night, she would inch closer and closer to me, and I huddled at the top of my bed, terrified and mumbling prayers. Until the night that she was so close to me, she was looking down at me, and I could feel her cold feet on either side of me. That was the night I decided I had to act. She could not inch any closer to me. So my fear was the next visit was possession or violence or something far worse. I'd skip school and see a priest or psychologist or a witch or whatever I had to do to make this lady go away. I ran into my mom in the hallway again, burst into tears. Again, I told her what was happening and told her that prayer wasn't working and I was going to spend the day trying to find a solution that worked. My mother pulled me to the couch, sat me down, and then popped next to me with an exasperated look. She turned to me and said, "I haven't told anyone this, but I think you need to hear it. When I was a young woman, there was a demonic spirit that had appeared in my room. I knew in my heart it was evil, so I prayed to God to send the Archangel Saint Michael to protect me. I was scared and praying, and the spirit was coming towards me, but then suddenly I was not afraid. It was as if I was not in control of my body. I stood up and walked past the spirit, and this sound, this guttural growl came from my mouth as I faced it and stared into its dead eyes. The demon backed down and left forever. Never and never again be able to make that growling sound. Whatever had been in control of my body then walked me back to bed, left my body, and I was filled with a triumphant and peaceful feeling of safety and love. I passionately believe that God sent an angel who took over my body and protected me. An angel to temporarily possess my body to say that I am a child of God and that the demon couldn't have me. I looked at my mother, unable to speak, of shock that she had not told me this earlier. I said, "But Mom, I've been praying. Nothing works." She calmly said, "There are two things I want to learn. I want you to learn from this encounter. One is to face your fears. Two is know your arsenal." What arsenal?" I said in almost a whisper. And she told me something that has helped me with my unpleasant encounters for years to come. "The Archangel Michael leads God's armies during the war in heaven and defeated Satan. Next to God himself, who do you think strikes the most fear into evil? It's from Michael." So instead of mumbling a Hail Mary or Our Father repetitively like a robot, talk to God about what you need and ask him to send you such a saint as Saint Michael. Don't use a spoon to cut your steak when all you have to do is ask for a knife. Inspired, I decided to take her advice. I was raised Catholic, and I felt that was my best line of defense because that is what I knew best. That night I went to sleep like clockwork. I woke up to the feeling of this lady climbing over my footboard and standing up. Tonight, instead of cowering among my pillows and blankets, muttering half-hearted prayers in terror, I stood up. I took every drop of courage I had, but I stood up. I walked towards her, slowly, praying out loud and almost a shout for God to protect me from this evil and to send the Archangel Michael to keep me safe. The lady just stood there and looked at me with her angry, distorted face. I then walked right up to her and said, "You can either leave or never come back, or the Archangel Michael will come to banish you back to the pit of hell you crawled out of. Either way, you have to go." After a few moments, she was gone. I spent the next half hour in prayer, thanking God. In the next few days, I was still afraid to sleep, so I broke a house rule and let the dog sleep on my bed with me for a couple of weeks. I never saw her again, though. I've used the St. Michael threat on bad entities that I've encountered since then, and I have to say it is amazingly effective. I plan to keep it in my arsenal. Thank you for your time and your stories. I adore your podcast, and I hope you that you, both your family and your farm animals, are all safe, happy, and healthy. Sincerely, Jill. Very well written, Jill. That,
and it was so nice for her to say that she hopes your farm animals.
Yeah. Well. Thank you, Jill. But I have to say, that was a really good story. Very interesting, very dramatic. And from the reading standpoint on my end, beautiful to read. So sometimes.
And also the ones that creep me out the most. There's something about that sleeping thing. Like,
yeah.
Just when you're asleep and at 3 a.m. it wakes you up. I hate that shit.
Yeah. I wake up at 3 a.m. every day, I think, but I think it's more my bladder than it is demons.
Well, there's that.
You got that.
It's like you wake up and it's like, oh my God, I don't see anything. I just have to pee. Okay.
Yeah. It's that jug of water that you drank before bed that's coming back. And like, oh yeah, I should probably stop doing that.
Well, hydration is important.
It is.
I just thought that was a creepy story. But so often the stories that are shared don't have a resolution to them.
Mm-hmm.
It's always just kind of dangling a lot of times. You know, some of them are like, and then the ghost went away. But this one did. It had a resolution. Here was the solution to the problem. It helped.
It doesn't His make it. Yeah. It didn't make it. Didn't make it go away, but it offered a way to make it slow down. It's like you can't stop, you know, if you're going to put your hand on your windows, it's going to smudge no matter what. So it's basically bringing Windex to the party. Spiritual Windex to knock away your evil spirits. Now with St. Michael edition.
That is an interesting analogy.
Yeah.
So. It's like the window is always there and you know you can put your hand on it because you got the Windex and you can wash it away.
Yeah.
But you shouldn't be putting your hand on it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, that kind of gets into the territory then of like, are you purposely inviting something in or putting yourself in situations? That's a little different. But I'm talking about just kind of more like everyday use of, you know, you're going through this door, you're going to eventually handprints will be there. But hey, now you know a way to get rid of them and you don't just have to sit there and look at a foggy window.
Right.
And so that was a very good one, Jill. Thank you for sharing that. I would love to hear more. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. That's one I think I would add to my list of stories I would put in another book. And I've there's nothing even in the works right now on that, but it's something that's been kind of on my radar maybe for 2021 of, you know, thinking about doing more of that, but that would be a good one to share.
You have a lot of free time.
Yeah, I have tons of free time. Not like every single moment of my day is like doing something, you know, picking up cow shit or literally now and
or chicken shit.
Yeah, getting shit on. That happens quite a bit with chickens. Yeah, it's there's a lot of shit involved, like literally. I'm not even saying, I mean, there is like the negatives things, you know, that we're all dealing with, too. And there's stressors like that. But literally, there's actual shit involved, like feces shit now that we're on the farm. So I can say that word now and it's totally acceptable. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to a caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. So I guess my story is still ongoing. About maybe like 2 years ago, exactly from November, I moved in with my boyfriend to his current townhome where his older brother and his wife and kids lived for maybe about a couple years before we got to move into there. And one night, I remember I was taking care of our brand new puppy and my other dog, and I kept hearing a lot of noise and I was a little weirded out. Then that night, maybe like 2 hours later, his brother showed up with his wife and they started telling me how there was all these creepy stories about the townhome that they had experienced. And one day they were having dinner and when they called the kids down to eat, they noticed that one of the little girls was missing. So the other kids went back upstairs to go get her and they found her sitting down in the middle room of the upstairs three bedrooms. And she was just staring up at a small window that faces the dining room area. So once you enter the townhome, just to give like a diagram of how the layout is, you go up the stairs and there's the first session to your right. Then there's the first room to your left. You walk down a little bit of a hallway, and there's that middle room that I'm talking about. And then at the far end, there's the master bedroom. So in that middle room, they also recall that when they were taking pictures of the entire townhome, they found like kind of like what looks like an old VHS tape. Like a filter kind of over that room in specific. Then when they were telling me all these stories, maybe like a couple days later, I was there in the morning and I was getting everything ready for the little puppy because I was about to leave to school. And I kept hearing noise downstairs, like in the kitchen area. And I was like, oh, maybe, you know, his sister hasn't left yet. Maybe she's getting her stuff ready. She's putting in some laundry, something, just an excuse. And once I actually left the puppy downstairs, left food and everything, I walk out and notice that it's just my car in the driveway. So, of course, I get spooked. Then as time went by, I kept feeling like some weird energy. As soon as you enter the house, it's just, it feels so dark. And it was maybe, I don't know, like midway last year when I had stayed over, and around like 4 a.m, my boyfriend kissed me, said he was leaving to work. And around an hour or less later, I start hearing what it seems like somebody was turning on and turning off a switch from outside of the bedroom, and then running down the stairs, but in like a weird, like dragging feet noise and like a stomp. Like it was just nothing that I had ever heard before from either my boyfriend or his sister. So then it was a switch turn on, run down the stairs, dragging feet, then switch goes off and downstairs, and then it just kept going back and forth where it became so repetitive that it would have been impossible for a human being to run up and down the stairs and turn on and off the switch as fast as it was going. And then I woke up, and when I woke up, I saw that the door was actually semi-opened. And I remember when he left, he kind of slammed the door a little bit to make sure that it was locked. And when I looked over, it was like cracked open, and there was no light on at no times when I was hearing the switch go on and off. So then I get up, I close the door, and when I test the lock, it was still locked. So there's no way somebody would have been able to open the door and close it back up. But other than that, I remember I had this vivid dream, nightmare actually, that I was walking into the house bringing in groceries. When I looked down, I saw a bunch of maggots in the grass, and in the dream we started digging out that grass area where we kind of hit something hard. And when we looked in, we saw this kind of like a semi-open casket. And I saw what appeared like women's feet upright. And then when I walked into the home, I remember that I would see this lady in like a creepy, like nightgown, kind of like a hospital gown. And she would look at me and tell me, do not dig there, because you know, that was her grave. And when I started telling her in my nightmare that I was afraid of the house, she told me that not really the house to be afraid of, it was actually the land. So then we started looking into what the land had history of, because she told me in my nightmare that it was like a graveyard. When we started looking into the history of the home, we didn't find anything other than maybe like previous homeowners. And something that was extremely sketchy and pretty creepy was that from a certain period of time, people were only living there for about a year, and it was always, they would move in January, leave February, and then they would just leave. And when they sold the house at a certain point, I think it was 2008, from previous owners, they sold it for only half of what it was worth when they purchased it. And it kind of seemed like they were only there for a couple months. So we don't know if maybe like previous homeowners have also experienced something creepy in that home. But yeah, I mean, I still go over to my boyfriend's house and it's kind of creepy, but that's my ghost story, I guess, in that home. Other than that, I remember when I was younger, I used to always experience weird things, but I don't know, maybe this is my actual sixth sense and I do have a calling for seeing and hearing ghosts. But thank you so much. I really hope I get to have this voicemail heard on the podcast. Thank you so much. I love your show. It keeps me busy while I'm at work, bored, and it entertains me. Thank you so much.
Creepy story. What are your thoughts?
She was adorable, though. She's telling a creepy story in the most adorable voice. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, I do think that people like her, you know, sometimes she can pick up on stuff maybe other people can't, but I think that, you know, if you had those experiences as a kid and you have them as an adult, chances are you will continue having them.
Sure.
But not to creep her out or anything, but she sounds like she's pretty together mm-hmm. with all of it. But, you know, I do think there's something like, why would somebody buy a house and then sell it for considerably less? You know, I guess maybe they moved and had to like got a job and they had to get out of the house. But, you know, if she's had like creepy experiences like that in the house.
Yeah.
I don't know. You just look back and, oh, these people weren't staying very long either. I don't know.
Yeah. It's one of those where it's just you look back on it retrospectively, and I think you can almost make more sense sometimes, and more things start standing out to her, I'm sure, when she kind of remembers and looks back on it to go, yeah, this was not, you know, I wasn't imagining this. This is very, very real.
Because yeah. like when she's has the puppy and she's, you know, getting ready to, you know, you got to take care of the puppy so you can leave. And there's things you got to do.
Sure.
You know, you have a zillion animals.
Yeah.
But, you know, so when your mind is on that and you're getting the kennel ready or the water and the food and all that, mm-hmm. then you hear something. It's like, what was that? Oh, there must be somebody else here. And there's not. It's like, what is that?
Yeah.
Because it's not like, you know, your mind was a million miles away just focused on puppies.
And then you try and figure out what exactly is going on and make sense yeah. of it. And you're going to try and your mind's going to naturally go to an area of logic first. But eventually you kind of narrow it down and go, there isn't anything here that says this is logical. And then you try and make sense.
You hear something, you yep. know, you were busy doing one thing and then it got your attention and you're like, what was that?
Yep.
You know, it's not like you're looking for a haunted thing.
Sure. Thank you for sharing that that experience with us. 855-853-4802 is our number. Let's go to another caller and hear another ghost story. I have to open it still. I thought I had it loaded. Let's press this one right here. And in 3, 2, 1, hi, let's hear yours.
Hey, Brewski. This is Michael from New York. Nice to be on the show. This is a ghost story that's somewhat chilling, but it was something that I experienced that other people experienced. And when you have more people experiencing it, it gives you a little bit more affirmation. This happened one night, peculiarly enough, in October, and it was a rainy night. Now, we have this one neighbor that the gentleman that lived there, he was a carpenter, and he passed away several years before, but his wife, she carried on in the house. Well, for some strange reason, the wife would not stay overnight in the house, and she would periodically come to our place and wait for her son to come pick her up. Well, I asked a couple of questions about, you know, what's going on. And apparently, she said that her husband won't leave her alone. That every night that she spends asleep, he shows up and bothers her. And she just refused to stay in that house. So one night, while I was in working in my house office, what happened was it started to rain. The weather started turning a little bit dark, and clouds started rolling in. It started to rain, and then all of a sudden, we heard this incessant banging. It was more like hammering, and it was just consistently going on. It just didn't stop. So this was just a hammering that, just like a constant hammering. So what we did was I went down to investigate to find out what was going on. I took a look around and I found out that the sound was coming from the backyard of the deceased man. And what he normally did was he actually went into his shack that he had in the back of his house. And I guess he did some work back there and things like that. So that's where the sound was coming from. So I peered as best I could to the backyard to see exactly what was going on. But you know, you just couldn't see anything. You just hear his hammering. So we have another neighbor that lives actually adjacent to that property. And they heard the hammering as well. So they turn on the lights of the house and they're coming out, and it's the wife and the husband. And the husband's trying to figure out where this hammering's coming from, and they're arguing with each other. And they just can't explain it because they're actually closer to that shack than we are. And they can hear it much more louder than I could. So this went on all night. It just didn't stop. The neighbors, the couple, they just turn on their lights and, you know, hopefully, you know, if they thought if it was someone trying to break in or something like that, the lights were on in their house in the backyard, so they couldn't, you know, everything was illuminated. I didn't turn on my lights. I just listened to that sound because I knew exactly who it was. It was the carpenter coming back once again, working in his shack, hammering away. And every once in a while, we would see a candle burning in the kitchen of the deceased man. The wife actually lit the candle, and this is a tradition that she does to acknowledge that of himself, of the carpenter. I just like to say that the show is fantastic. You guys are very genuine people, and you're very genuine to the genre. The other thing is your daughter, once again, you know, I always praise, you know, kids that are interested and have enthusiasm for certain things. And definitely she is, one of the spotlights of the show, to me, at least, and to my listeners in my house. And there's another thing that I'd like to mention.
And I don't know what that is because his phone call ended.
That's where it ended?
That's where it ended. There's another thing I like to mention and gone. So he was being very positive, so I'm assuming it wasn't like, and I hate you and I hope you die in your sleep. I don't think that's where he was going, but no, it's 2020 and anything's positive.
I'm going to take it. It was a good thing.
Yeah, I'm going to go with
it. Maybe it was like, and another thing. I would like to be a farmer too.
Yeah. Yeah. Something like that.
I don't know.
And another thing, I watch you when you sleep through your window, something like that.
But another thing, I'm not threatening.
I'm just there.
I just like to watch people sleep.
You know, it's like watching birds. So if you open your window some morning.
I know exactly where you live.
I know you sleep on this side of the bed. I know she sleeps on the other side. And that CPAP machine looks like it's lovely.
When your daughter comes in the middle of the night. God. Okay, so that story totally gave me something to be creeped out about, the murder shed. I'm like, oh, great. Now I'm going to start hearing hammering.
Just wait.
Because I know that somebody one day, like, that was what it was for.
Yeah.
It was some guy like to tinker around out in the shed.
Yep, and cut up bodies. And his name happened to be Dennis Rader. That's what she found out several weeks after owning the home. A once well-known disc jockey in Wichita, Kansas, now known for the murder shed that belonged to BTK.
Or is it?
Or is it?
He always turns everything around at the last second. Or.
Or is she aspiring to be the next?
That was kind of maybe what that guy was going to do.
Yeah.
And one more thing.
Yeah. Ooh. One more thing. I don't mean anything I just said. I hate you. You're a horrible person. And yeah, they're like, okay, well, that's good. No, you seem like a nice guy. I'd love to hear more.
We had a great story and everything. Like, it was super scary. All of the stories were scary today.
They were very scary. So if you got
I
more
comical ghost stories,
I do too.
You don't get many of those.
We'd love to hear more from anybody who was on the show today. Good stories. If you like the show, you want to keep us on the air, become an extra podcast person. Like I said at the beginning of the show, think maybe a holiday gift for yourself or someone who likes the paranormal. Sign up for an annual membership at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Super easy to do it. And, you know, then you got some great listening to binge away on in 2021. Because quarantining ain't going to be coming to an end anytime soon, kids. Until next time, for all of us at Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony. That's Carol. Thanks for listening.